Welcome to Red Eyes Radio. Thank you all for tuning in to bbsradio.com. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and I'm coming to you live from the west coast of Sweden. I am the editor and the webmaster of the Red Eyes website, and I will be your host for the next hour. All of you out there, don't forget to visit the Red Eyes website for your daily fix of interesting news and various research topics. It's updated daily, so make sure you visit red-eyes.net. All right, there we got my little plug-in also. I'm very glad you tuned in today because it's going to be an exciting show because we are joined by researcher and filmmaker and Access TV show host Freeman. A few months ago, or I guess it's more than that by now, but anyway, I bought a copy of his film, The Freeman Perspective, and it's a three-hour-long DVD with six episodes, a series of topics like Freemasonry, Columbia, goddess worship, symbolism in corporate logos, the Nephilim, chemtrails, harp, and much, much more. And everyone who wants to follow along today in some points and who wants to know more about Freeman, you can visit his site right now. It's thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com. That's thefreemanperspective, one word, .blogspot.com. And I urge everyone to get a copy of the Freeman Perspective DVD and support his fabulous work, so do check that out. And I can also mention before here that I wanted to speak to Freeman more in depth ever since I saw his brilliant film, so I'm very glad to have this opportunity today. So welcome to the program, Freeman.
Well, thank you so much, Henrik.
Yeah,
very excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm great to have you here too, and thanks for taking the time to join us today here. So
not a problem.
Great. To start off here, Freeman, I'm a bit curious about you, and I would love to hear a little bit, if you want to, about your background, if you want to share it with us, and how you did, become introduced to this kind of information, and how you ended up both having your own TV show and making this film.
Okay, well, all of that is of critical importance, really, because it really does explain a lot just to understand my history and how this all happened to me, because it really did happen to me. I didn't go looking for any of this information. It came and found me, and this made me curious about, well, what it turned out, this all understanding of all this, the logos and the symbolism started with a simple question of, why is there a pyramid on the dollar bill? But my history turns out to be completely connected with all this. Because when I've always been intrigued with ancient astronauts, magicians, flying saucers. That's what I read as I was a kid. Yeah. And then as I grew up and into my 20s, I find out that my whole family is involved in all this. My father was a worshipful master for a lodge in Germany, and chase flying saucers for Project Blue Book, as well as building nuclear missiles, and was on Killer One submarine with Jimmy Carter. that's right? And my mother was raised by witches in Luxembourg. My grandparents were renowned healers in Luxembourg. People would come for hundreds of miles to have them heal their cattle and whatnot. Yeah. And my grandmother actually cast spells and hobbled under the full moon and whatnot. So my mother's been married to two separate worshipful masters. She left one to marry my father. And so my whole bloodline actually is just filled with the esoteric. And it made me really realize and firmly believe, and it's been scientifically proven, that there is such a thing as genetic memory.
Yes.
We can go way back. So, you know, my bloodline itself right there just led me into this very thing, these very topics. And as I'm researching these things, I would bring them to my father, who, you know, was involved in all of these things. And he would go, oh, no. But he told me absolutely flying saucers were real. That's about all I got out of him on that whole deal.
Nice.
But so, yeah, this whole idea of ritual magic, symbolism, extraterrestrials, and its connections with our military-industrial complex have all been something that I've been drawn to all my life.
So your DVD here, this is kind of your work that you have been doing for the last, 10 years or 5 years or?
The hardcore study, I think, began around 1993.
Yeah.
That was when I hit the road and just started what I call a Chautauqua, just a traveling road show that was informing people.
Yeah.
And this is where I learned the art of synchronicity and the divine intelligence that's actually going on around us that gets ignored quite a bit.
Yeah.
And it was synchronicity that brought me to television. As I just came down to Austin on a road trip, no plans really. I was only planning on being here a day or two. But I ended up sticking around because each time I was led to something else to do. And I met an old friend on a bus, and he invited me to a meeting with George Green. Are you familiar with him?
No, I don't recognize the name, actually.
George Green was an ex-Bilderberger that caught up with the Palladians through Billy Meyer.
Yeah.
Billy Meyer is a huge contactee, and George Green is an ex presidential advisor, or he was supposed to be a presidential advisor for Clinton, and now he's running around telling the world about these extraterrestrials that are visiting our planet, and that the Bilderbergers are planning on killing off 2/3 of the population. He had quite a talk, but I don't know about George. I don't trust that whole scenario, and I can tell you a few reasons why, but. First, let me finish in this meeting, I ended up meeting a city council member and got to talking to him about some of my theories, and then he says, well, why don't you have your show, have a show on ACTV, which is now PACT. But I was flabbergasted. I didn't know I could have a show, you know. I was like, well, and he says, well, it's only $180. And I was like, well, that's a little bit of a problem, being that I'm just a road dog. I just run around this country. And he's like, no problem, and he paid for it.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. So at that moment, here I have a TV show. I'm like, oh, my God, I have a TV show. What am I going to do, you know? I didn't want to be a talking head. I didn't want to get up there and just tell people things. I had to show you. You had to see the symbols for yourself. You had to understand their meanings. And so I compiled these videos, and each half hour on that video took me 2 to 3 months to film, compile, organize, edit. And it was all done by me. I was completely alone in this task.
Oh, great.
But I blew their minds. I mean, they were they weren't ready for the Freeman perspective, I'll tell you what.
It's really great, Freeman. I have to commend you on it, because I really like the feel of it, because it's relaxed, and it isn't condemning in a sense.
If you don't giggle watching my video, I'm upset. If I haven't made you giggle at least once or twice throughout the whole thing, I'm upset. Because, we can't get bogged down in the fear. You know, this is an amazing topic. To me, it's filled with wonder as opposed to fear.
Yeah.
And all these people, you know, I would love to. I hear so often, oh, well, it's just greed, or it's just money or oil. And I just know that these people aren't taking in the whole picture.
Exactly.
Who includes, you know, the reason the pyramids were built into the reason W is attacking Iran or Iraq, you know?
Yeah.
Nobody thinks about that.
Exactly.
We've formulated it into these small subsystems, and the whole picture is getting lost.
Absolutely. And I know that, as I said before we came on here, I watched I think it's your latest episode, I don't know really, but it's called Freeman's Dark Side.
Yes.
And I got it from conspiracycentral.net, hopefully with your permission, of course, that you uploaded it. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, great. And I think that, too, was an excellent show, because you tried, you know, to encapsulate the big picture, the entire picture, and, as you said, to create like a unified theory of all these loose ends, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think you did a really good job, actually.
Well, thank you. Well, maybe we could throw some of these things at the people to show what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Because to understand that this is a unified system run by one group, is the prime key to understanding all of this. The reasons that we're attacking Iraq and Iran have nothing to do with the oil. I mean, if you understand that George Bush owns a bunch of that oil with the bin Ladens, then you realize that this is not about fighting over the oil. And so when you look to the symbolism, that's where you see the unification of this whole system. Because what we're looking at is Kabbalism. And Kabbalism is an ancient Hebrew mysticism that was passed down to us by the gods. And this is what they are using. And if you turn a Kabbalistic filter onto the world, then you can all of a sudden see this fully unified system all around us. So that when we attacked Iraq, and it was HW, I prefer to use their terms HW and W, because these are their meanings, Kabbalistic meanings to their letters. And these are the reasons that they chose these names for their children, because Prescott Bush, the granddaddy, was as well a Kabbalist and even a Satanist, and is well known for having stolen Geronimo's skull, which is still housed at the Skull and Bones.
Yes.
And they can't get that back. So HW, well, okay. You know, all right, let's turn the Kabbalistic filter onto this whole scenario.
Absolutely.
Because this explains a lot. W, the reason we call the president W is because W has Kabbalistic meaning. And within Kabbalism, you're using Hebrew. And in Hebrew, W equals 66, because of VV. It's actually a double V, or double V, not a double U. I think that they did that here in America to confuse us, because, you know, as you'll learn, even our dictionaries are founded by these same occultic groups. And so they limit our knowledge through that. So, W is the number of the fallen angels, or the letter of the fallen angels. HW means emperor of the fallen angels, you see. So, W then becomes just the president of the fallen angels.
Yeah.
So, HW attacks Iraq, and they call this the Shock and Awe campaign. Shock and Awe, Shock and Awe is a Hebrew word, and it means divine presence. Or it's the feminine version of the God. It's the Hebrew feminine form of God. So to name the attack, the Shock and Awe, was not by any accident at all. This was completely staged. But if you recognize that Saddam Hussein was announcing that he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated,
yes,
then you realize that this is a unified system, that there was no difference. It was not that the Shock and Awe came down and struck Nebuchadnezzar. This isn't by accident. This is by plan. This is by design. He was put into place to become Nebuchadnezzar. They were coming in. And now, if you don't believe that he thinks he's Nebuchadnezzar, there's all the palace that he built and rebuilding all of Nebuchadnezzar's great architectural achievements, and then installing himself as Nebuchadnezzar in the architecture itself, in the stonework and in paintings and in statues showing that he was Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated. So even the USA Today reported that CIA cannot disprove Saddam's claims to being Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated. You know, when I see the newspaper, I see a totally different newspaper than anyone else on this planet, it seems. You know, so then we go in and we attack Saddam Hussein or Nebuchadnezzar with the Shekinah, the divine presence, and we use the mother of all bombs. And this is shortened to the Moab.
Moab, yes.
So this is the exact story told in the Bible of Nebuchadnezzar, that he was attacked by the divine whirlwind, which is a nickname for the Shekinah, and that he was attacked by the Moabites.
Yeah, yeah, and this this term, the whirlwind, this was used, I think, in one of Bush's speeches.
Absolutely,
too.
Is not the angel in the whirlwind.
Exactly.
Yes. And
it's fascinating.
You see, they give us these codes. And like in my film, I have the whole Y2K celebration deciphered and showing its connections to Hades and Lucifer.
Yes.
And Lucifer has always been very intriguing to me because nowhere in the Bible does it connect Lucifer to Satan. Actually, it's more in reference to Nebuchadnezzar.
Hmm.
But in most parts, it's in reference to Venus, and that's where we get to Columbia, the goddess of America.
Yes.
But, you know, the newspaper articles that I see, you know, the headline of USA Today in December of 99, Muslims stopped the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold. Milosevic accuses U.S. of using HAARP to cause earthquakes and floods in Iraq.
Yeah.
You know, these are all been front page articles. This is not like I'm, you know, people act like I'm stepping way outside of the norm, but everything I say has been in the front page of the newspaper.
Yeah, and I have to ask you here, why is it that this is being performed right in front of our nose?
That boils down to the spiritual aspect of this whole thing. Because that is, when you look at it, you realize that this entire system must be of our own free will and accord. And this is what any magician says as he enters a temple for the first time. When you're being initiated, you must arrive at the temple of your own free will and accord.
Yeah.
And so what I see is the ritual being performed, and within the ritual, they must tell us exactly what they're going to do so that it is of our own free will and accord. And so our souls, our spirits, actually have to be usurped in this manipulative way. And to give you an example, the plot for Die Hard 3, I believe it was, Die Hard with a Vengeance, I believe, the whole plot is that there's a couple of buildings in New York that get blown up by pseudo-terrorists, but the terrorists aren't actually terrorists. Their whole goal is to get to the gold in the stored in the basement. And they bring in dump trucks in this Die Hard movie, the dump trucks that clean up all of the rubble of the terrorist attack, in quotes, actually take all the gold away. And if you watch the whole 911 scenario, which of course there's all kinds of symbolism wrapped in that, you find that Halliburton or Cheney's dump trucks came rolling in and started cleaning up the mess before anyone had a time to investigate the rubble, and $30 million in gold and silver turned up missing from the vault in the basement.
Yeah.
So they've already told us what they're going to do. You know, the 911 scenario was a plot within the Lone Gunman episode.
Exactly.
Like a month before. So they must tell us what they're going to do, even if it's through fiction, through movies, or just mentioning it in the news once. And as long as it's gone into the collective consciousness and we all okay it by not doing anything about it, or, you know, actually agreeing with it, then we have done this of our own free will and accord, and we've given up our own spiritual or divine powers.
That's it's incredibly fascinating, this, because you know, that's why I also consider it to be important to, you know, look at big movie releases and kind of this kind of stuff, you know. It's like a, it's like an overlay of this kind of, I don't know what to call it, communications or signals almost. And the question that I've come up against several times now, as among others, your research have helped me to see these patterns and decipher this information. And the question that I come up against now is all this done by people who are aware, or is there, you know, a pattern in our creation that, that replicates itself and kind of a, in a holographic manner, you know?
That
do
is
you follow?
That is a huge question.
Yeah.
Because my father now, you know, he was the worshipful master of the lodge. He actually ran the rituals. But to him, it was a bunch of gobbledygook. This is what he would tell me. You know, he liked the York Rite better because it only had the 3 degrees and they were pretty straightforward. As he got into the Scottish Rite and he had to start performing more elaborate rituals, they were just gobbledygook that he had to memorize. So there are a lot of people out there practicing ritual magic that have no idea why or what they're doing. But if, as you look into ritual magic and you start to look at the people who are up in the top levels of ritual magic, say like Aleister Crowley, and you find out why he became so infamous. And it is that he contacted an extraterrestrial entity or another dimensional entity and drew back this book through channeling. And the creature, or the character that he contacted was known as Iwas.
Yes.
And he was, I believe, an ancient Lemurian or an Atlantean. I lost track of that one, sorry. And, you know, so the height of ritual magic is contact with these other dimensional beings. This is what ritual magic is.
Yeah.
And through these other dimensional beings, you can manipulate reality. They have not ever left. The Nephilim, as you know, as they are termed in the Bible, those that were cast down to this planet have not left this planet. They are still in control, and we have been confused and manipulated all of our lives. You know, we grew up in a zoo, and we don't realize that we're in a zoo, just as any creature grown in captivity doesn't know. But we have this feeling, we have this intuition of what the outside world is like. And we yearn for it even though we don't know why, because we've never seen it. You know? And
yeah.
So ritual magic and all the media manipulation are used to keep this system in order and keep us thinking in the right ways, keeping our imagination cold, keeping our imagination, you know.
Yes. So we are now in a time where certain things in this matrix are falling apart, so to speak. And do you think that this also is by design, or is there something else intervening in this to, you know, to break the matrix?
To break it, I hope so. You know, there's word of the Galactic Federation stepping in. These guys focus hugely on astrological events. Like, the term that Masonic researchers, Lomas and Knight and Lomas, the Book of Hiram, have connected the term Shakanah to the conjunction of Venus and Mercury rising. And in this, they've proven that, the Masons are hugely an astrological cult, and they do base a huge portion on what they do on the dates and on times that they need to be done, as they have always been done in the past. So what we are entering is this brand new age. You know, as we enter this age of Aquarius, we don't really know what that means. You know, it's a 26,000-year cycle. As we go through all the houses of the astrological cycle, it takes roughly 2,200 years to get through one house. And we right now are leaving Pisces and entering Aquarius. This is the beginning of the new great year as we start the whole thing over. So I believe this is of critical importance. I believe that this structure that we're looking at, the astrological cycle, is actually the rotation of our solar system. And so what is occurring is our solar system on the galactic arm is turning to face the galactic core. And we're receiving new radiation from the galactic core, or a new vibration of light. And that this new vibration of light, as we are beginning to understand, actually alters our DNA. And they don't want this. And so what's happening is we're moving into an ascension. We're moving into a higher vibration, a new dimension, and they are quickly building frequency modulators around the globe and working towards efforts to get us all chipped. Now, none of this has to do with pandemic. None of it has to do with military warfare. All of this has to do with maintaining our frequency. And that's what HARP is for. That is what all of the ionospheric heaters. I mean, of course, yes, they are great tools for controlling and manipulating global events. But on top of that, they are frequency modulators. And if you get a book called Real Magic by Isaac Bonowitz, 25 years before the creation of these ionospheric heaters, he was already describing the technology in reference to magic. And he is the only individual to ever get a degree in magic from Berkeley.
Fascinating.
That's what I believe it is. It's the timing. It's the where we are in our cycle of the solar system. I carry around with me a picture of two galaxies colliding, just to keep everything in perspective.
Yes. Nice. You know, this, of course, my own thoughts on this is, of course, that, you know, all of the crap in our food that is being introduced, and the poisons, the different chemicals, and the, of course, as you say, the electromagnetic disturbances around us. You know, the new cell phone, what do they call it, 3G or something? You know, it's I agree with you totally, because it's part of this grid and network, and of course we can argue ultimately what it is for, but I certainly agree with you. It feels like it's to prevent something, or to keep us down in the current state, or to lower us almost. I don't know, but
definitely
it's interesting.
I mean, you know, and there you jump right into the whole chemtrail issue, and recognize that there's a few key ingredients within those chemtrails that should be thought about. One is the viral. They have been reported to have viruses in the chemtrails that we are breathing, but these viruses are inert. But using electromagnetic frequencies such as HARP or any other of those technologies, you can reactivate those viruses. So they can actually turn them on and turn them off within us.
Yeah.
But then there's also barium within those chemtrails, and this heavy metal causes us to show up on radar. It's well-known tracking agent. And it, you know, it's been given to terrorists in the Middle East forever. And they hit us pretty hard at the rainbow in 96, and I'm still dealing with the cough that comes from it. But this itself brings all kinds of side effects: lower back pains, aching joints, depression, anxiety attacks. After they hit us, and potassium loss. And all of these things, affect our vibration, affect our ability to be happy and enjoy and be imaginative. But on top of it, you know, you're tracked and controlled. Because, you know, of the whole new movie coming out, maybe you don't over there, but they're hitting us with Fatal Contact, bird flu in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's going to be on ABC next week.
All right.
Right before my show. So that
when
should be interesting.
By the way, when is your show? You can tell our listeners when. How can we see?
It's only on in Austin. But I do upload as many as I can to conspiracycentral.net. So you can get there through my website. It's already formulated so that you click on it and it all just my movies come up, because you know how many shows there. You go to Conspiracy Central, just search Freeman and all my films will come up.
Great, great. So where do we take this? You know, there are so many different directions we can go here, but I would like to talk a little bit about the concept of, you know, the Stargate, or a few who are trying to get off planet, I guess, a kind of an alternative three scenario. So what's your take on this? Are a few trying to leave the planet, so to speak, and kill off 80% of the rest of us now, or?
Yeah, unfortunately, that does seem to be the case. What I see going on is, the ambassador of our extraterrestrial gods is already speaking openly before Congress and telling them that they're cloning humans.
Yeah.
All right? And, of course, their symbol is the Star of David interwoven with the swastika. Back to the Kabbalistic symbolism.
Yes.
We've reached this time, which Zechariah Sitchin talks about, that happened, you know, 4,000 years ago. Or longer, I'm still not sure about his dates, but that the gods have returned, or are returning, or their planet is, you see, because I guess they've been here. As far as I can tell, they have not left this planet, and it wouldn't make any sense for them to do so.
No.
So as far as the whole escape thing, I think what they've done is set up a system here on the planet to mine this planet for resources. And we were the worker bees that got the whole hive going. Now that they've got it almost to a system where it's automated and they barely need humans to control it anymore, then they need to get rid of us, because we're just trouble, as they did before in the past. But I firmly believe that there is a higher political involvement going on, where the Galactic Federation is involved, and, you know, it seems. Now, let me tell you, I went to Dr. Sala's exopolitics.com.
Yeah, yes.
And when it absolutely confirmed everything I was saying, which I was discovering through symbolism. So when I had recognized that, when I'm looking downtown and looking at the Capitol Dome with the goddess standing on top of it holding a pentagram, and directly due north of her is the phallus or clock tower, then I recognize these both to be symbols of Sirius and Orion.
Yeah.
And so when I look around and I see your normal architecture and then these weird, you know, columned, domed, symbolized buildings sitting there, they absolutely look like alien structures to me.
Yeah.
And so we've got a galactic intrigue going on as well, whereas the Sirians and Orions, but only parts of the Sirians, are in control of this planet. And then there's others out in the Galactic Federation as well that, you know, don't want us lovely, beautiful humans to be eradicated by these evil reptilian, yeah, so-and-so.
Yeah. I know, but, you know, it might be, you know, to those who are not into this information, you know, kind of, all of you, I can just say, of course, get Freeman's DVD and take a look at it and try to, as you said in your latest episode, Freeman, that I think is important, and that is how much information do you base your reality on?
Yeah.
And that is critical in this discussion, to just to have people open up to the possibility. It's not about people accepting these ideas. It's about them accepting the the possibility that this might be true.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I mean, in 1984, the axiom of Big Brother was ignorance is strength. And I'm seeing that as a huge problem with the world right now, because students are being trained to give whatever answer they assume is correct, and they are rewarded for that. If you say, I don't know, then you get punished. And saying, I don't know, is what opens you to possibilities. Saying, oh, well, it must be over the oil, cuts off any other possibility. You know, you've been trained to be ignorant, and ignorance is strength in today's world, for sure. And all the axioms of Big Brother and Brave New World and, are coming true, you know?
Yes, of course. And then it's all of them at once, it seems. And we're past it. We're beyond it, I think, because, you know, the double speak and the new speak out there is so rampant that, you know, I try to sometimes get into the mindset of those who still, you know, look to the right or to the left in politics, and seriously, my head just spins sometimes because I can't make sense of it. It's gibberish, really.
yeah, and you shouldn't try to make, you know, one thing people don't realize is that, you know, of course they don't, taking in the magic and the extraterrestrials is the hardest part. But if you start to look at it and you recognize that all these symbols we see around us have magical significance, and that there was something in reference to what you were just saying. I got lost in my train of thought there. I don't want to go on a tangent. But people don't know that 51% of our presidents here in America all belong to a single fraternity. And on top of that, they are all of a single bloodline, and the bloodline is of critical importance. And that goes back again to that whole genetic memory and the DNA link. And so that's why, you know, the gods themselves would have sex with their sisters or half-sisters in order to keep the bloodline pure. And this bloodline came through the gods and was spread through the humans, through the Nephilim, and all of this story is told through the Bible and other magical groups like the Theosophists, and it's well documented. And these bloodlines then became the pharaohs of Egypt, or the godmen, and this bloodline of the gods and humans has ruled the world from the get-go, as far as we know of civilization, because civilization in this solar system goes much farther back than we're willing to accept right now. But when you start to realize there's a Death Star surrounding Saturn and pyramids on Mars and structures on Mars, structures on the Moon, then you got to realize that history on this planet goes way back. But we've only got it from, well, you know, Orthodox standards say 3500 BC, but I believe more 10,500 BC is the dating for the pyramids. It makes a lot more sense, and that's all through Graham Hancock's work. And this bloodline of these gods has been passed down, so then you recognize that president actually means first man in Egypt, and we got the bloodline running through all our presidents. There's never been an election in America. It's all a huge farce. Kerry and Bush are cousins. They're both skull and bones. There's never been an election in America, and everybody talks about going back to the Constitution and going back to these structures that were crafted by the Freemasons to give them reign in the first place, you know? Liberty, liberty for them. And that's the big deal, you know, that this is not just events unfolding. This is a long-term plan. These people, these controllers, the Nephilim, have a huger control over the planet than what we are to recognize. And we're just to see that things are unfolding like this, and we're to believe that humans are just bad creatures and are inevitably going to lead to evil. And this is just not true.
Of course. And do you think that, you know, could there be some truth to the idea that, you know, humanity has been, you know, the Bible says, call them, you know, the watchers. They were assigned here to watch the progress and to watch over us and to, as I see it now, I guess, even guide the human experience so that it doesn't, you know, in some sense, sway too much in one or the other direction. But now, as we are closing up, I guess, as you said earlier, this cycle, it is necessary for us to be aware of this and to see this pattern and to take back the power and to start to conduct our own experience, so to speak.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think once you recognize that it is a matrix and it is a system of control and that it is bigger than money and oil, if you recognize that money itself was just placed there to control you, I mean, it's a magical spell. It has no value whatsoever. Then you become released from the matrix. And you can then start to create your own reality. And it totally works. You know, the Celestine Prophecy movie is coming out. It's going to be here in Austin tomorrow, and James Redfield will be there. I personally believe that the Celestine Prophecies is the perfect guidebook to understanding the path out of this mess. But first, you know, we always have to address recognizing the problem. And if everybody's just, you know, talking about greedy, evil humans, then you're not seeing the problem.
Exactly.
And once you recognize this whole system of control that's been placed around us from the get-go, I mean, when the first form of control was in the temples, and they were the biggest buildings in the city, and then it moved to the churches, and they were the biggest buildings in the city, and then it became money, which was created by the Templars, and the banks became the biggest buildings in the city. Well, you look around today in the 21st century, and the cell phone companies are the biggest building in the city. So you can see that the progression of control. And it's always been control. And so when I look to the Bible and I study it, I keep in the back of my mind the whole story of the Bene Gesserit witches of Dune, which would lay prophecies on the planets, so if they ever arrived, they would be worshipped as gods. And if you look at what the Bible is, it's really just the bloodline of Adam and Eve. And you got to recognize that there were already humans on the planet before Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
You know, Cain was marked so that all the humans wouldn't kill him.
Exactly.
You know, they already existed. Adam and Eve were a special bloodline and kept there with the gods.
You know, and the Bible, I think, also is interesting to study because, you know, either the Bible is prophetic or it is being played out as a blueprint for, you know, the end times that is, I believe, occurring practically right now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody always says to me, well, not in my lifetime. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's going on. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
This is news. This isn't, you know, future speak.
Exactly. But yeah, so... Yeah, it's fascinating, and I just want to touch a little bit more about on the concept of money, because I think it's really interesting the things that you have brought up about money, and I can throw in a little anecdote myself here. You know, when one considers if you are in the know and you are aware of the false value systems around us, like the fiat, all the fiat currencies that aren't backed up by gold, and then you have the fractional reserve banking, which basically states that you can lend out 10 times more than you can that you have to account for, then and you can charge interest on that. You basically can create money out of nothing.
Out of nothing.
False value system.
And it's a faith-based system.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, let's say you have an investor who decides to build something concrete, something out of material, a building or a bridge or something. And if you think about it, that which has just been done is that you have created something out of nothing.
And magic.
It's you know, the basic of magic, like drawing a bunny out of a hat, so to speak.
It is absolutely nothing but that is magic.
Yeah, it's magic.
And what you see is humanity used to go and find its food and would feel it miraculous when the deer came before their arrow or the plant that was left there for them to eat. And we used to believe that, you know, we would be provided for. And, you know, even Jesus gets into, you know, do the birds not get fed, do not the animals get fed. And what has happened is we've been usurped with this panticle. It's a magical talisman that has no value except for the faith in it. And so now no longer do we go looking for a miraculous event to bring us food. We now go get a job at the Golden Arches, which of course are both symbols of the Templars, and the very bills themselves are crafted by the Templars. This whole system has been set up. A magical pentacle requires to have all of your symbolism on it, and this is why all the money, you'll see the euro with the owl, and you'll see the dollar with its pyramid and its eagle, and, you know, these are magical pentacles. That's what they are. They're talismans. And if you think that the leaders, the ones creating money out of nothing, are trying to gain more of this paper, then you know, it's crazy. The Templars used this system to take what was truly of value, and that was property and land.
Yeah.
And that's where the true value lies. The money is merely a spell cast on us.
Yes.
And it's going to be a hard one to escape, because more people say to me than anything else, they may believe that I'm talking, you know, about the extraterrestrials, about ancient astronauts, but when I try to tell them that the world can function without money, oh, my God, it's like I just said, you know, I was green or something.
Amazing. Yeah. We have to come to a paradigm shift, and you know, we have to, as you say, realize that things function without it. And it's not that hard to understand, because, you know, people do things all the time, and we create stuff, we build stuff, and, you know, this isn't about, as I see it anyway, us going back to, you know, the Stone Age, where
right.
We don't, you know, develop anything anymore.
No.
I mean, we have a system here that is functional and operates
humans
already.
Are creators.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What we do. We're not going to stop doing that. I'm not getting paid to make my movies. I'm not getting paid to build my... do my TV show. It costs me money. This is what humans do.
Yeah.
We love it. And, you know, left to our own devices, we'll make wonderful works. It's
exactly.
Just, you know, but we'll turn them towards human endeavors. We'll be growing beautiful food as opposed to trying to dig oil. You know, you know, we need to get back to a human structure. We are a mining colony for an extraterrestrial race, and that's what we see as civilization. You know, you erase that, and all you need is food, water, shelter, and entertainment. You know? The boxes that could generate electricity, that would generate walls, was written in New Atlantis, which was written in the 1700s. The electricity box that was described in this ancient book was also crafted by Nikola Tesla to give us all free energy.
Yeah.
And it's existed since 1931. I mean, we've had electric cars that did 90 miles an hour for 6 days in 1931.
Yeah.
You know, these things are held from us. These
we aren't going to get them.
Not as long as the Nephilim are in charge.
Yeah, and I think that the price is, so to say, it's our awareness. We have to become aware and participators in this reality again, and not passive bystanders like we are today. Almost.
Yeah, we must understand that the difference between miraculous and manipulative, because our miraculous nature is absolutely a reality, but you can't tell anyone about it. You can't prove it to them through statements of fact or anything. I can give you examples of how synchronistic events have occurred in my life, but until you actually go and experience it. I mean, if everybody would just step out their door and lose their fear and just take a walk, I mean, like, a long walk, they would find themselves in the most amazing adventures, and your life unfolds. But we're locked into a manipulative state of fear where we believe we got to control and manifest everything that comes our way.
Yeah.
And that's the wrong answer, and that's the big paradigm shift that's occurring as people are starting to catch on to synchronicity and the divine nature of life.
Yeah, exactly. And that is, I know that you mentioned this also in your work, that, you know, I think that Alex Jones does an excellent job at what he does.
Yeah.
And so many researchers who are, you know, exposing the police state and all of this, and it needs to be done. My God, if we have to, that's the first step, you know. But I love the research and the things that you do, because you take it the necessary next steps, so to say.
And, yeah, I'm waiting for the news to catch up with the Freeman perspective. It will.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah, it's really great. So I urge everyone out there to, you know, head on over to thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com and support Freeman's work and get yourself a DVD, because it's awesome stuff. And we have just about 5 minutes left here, but I know that you're working on another project with Tex Mars, right?
Yes,
now.
That's hot off the press. I just got it done.
Ah, it's done.
Yes, it is ready to be flown out the door.
There we go.
And now, this is 2 hours of Tex and I showing you Masonic or occultic hand signs and gestures. I also have an actual ritual being performed by the UT administration, and I have Madonna's whole explanation of why she's a Kabbalist. So the first hour goes through all the different hand signs and gestures, and you recognize that Jerry Seinfeld's a brother, and Ozzy Osbourne, and, you know, just all these people giving these secret hand signs. And we show you the Masonic handbooks showing these hand signs. You know, Pat Robertson, the list goes on and on. All of them. It's madness. And then the second hour is dedicated to the goddess worship and understanding of the Kabbalistic meaning of the goddess.
Yeah.
And yes, on my website I have all the documentation. I'm working on building up more. I need an article about HAARP on there. I was hoping we could get to rock and roll. Maybe we'll have to talk again, because just looking at the world of rock and roll and with the Kabbalistic filter is quite an amazing. And that film is almost done.
Oh, great.
So,
you know, I don't know if there is a term for it, but, you know, there are so many patterns within our modern culture that connects with ancient mythology and the words and the names and the signs and the symbols and everything. And I don't know what to call it, you know, it's like cultural mythology or something, I don't know. But I think we need a name for it. Do you have any suggestion? Like, invent a new term here. No, but seriously, I think it's, do you follow me what I mean?
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Because this, it's all around us, you know, in the mood. And,
well, I'll tell you right now, just to make sure it's out there and known, you know, there's a reason Target has the sun symbol as their symbol. There's a reason Walmart has the pentagram, why Texaco has the pentagram, why Shell is a Shell. Why ABC, NBC, CBS all have references to the goddess. You know, there's not a corporation left out of this thing. It's not like this is one unified magical Kabbalistic system.
Yes.
So, you know, this has been supplanted upon us. It's not, I don't think it's a genetic link that has let it grow up. You know, I was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could talk for days about the symbolism.
Absolutely. It's fascinating. And
I know we only have a minute left, so.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I want to I guess we have to finish off here, but I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Freeman. It has been great.
It has been. I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll finish off the interview right here over the phones, okay?
Okay.
Great. Talk to you later, Freeman. Thanks.
All right, Henrik.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, there you go, everyone. Freeman, what an interview. We have to have him back definitely on the show again. It's been fascinating going through all these things here. So we have coming up next week, I can say here, another very special guest, Christopher Morse from creativecosmos.org will be joining us, of course. So you have to tune into that because it's going to be great. So and make sure, again, to visit my site, the Red Ice website. It's www.red-ice.net. So take a look there, updated daily with news and fascinating research topics and much more. So let's see, is there any other announcement? The last week's interview hopefully will be up also on another site now called redicecreations.com, where a few of the these interviews eventually also will be uploaded upon. So check out bbsradio.com and the Red Ice website, and also of course Freeman's site that we just got through. Again, his address is thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com. That's one word, thefreemanperspective.blogspot.com. So, okay, I guess I will leave you at that. Thanks to everyone who has tuned in today. And again, next week, Christopher Morse from creativecosmos.org will join us. So make sure you tune in then. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.